The Chai FM, Eye on Terrorism, exclusively on Chai FM.
Time is 8:17. A very, very good morning to David Harris of the Clarion Project. How are you?
Coping. How are you?
Ooh, coping isn't good.
Well, it's better than not coping.
Well, that is true. Absolutely true. But it's probably somewhere there in the middle of where we want to be. Let's talk about some of these, some of the issues. And, what we've been wondering is what's going to come after ISIS, after, and Hamza bin Laden. Where are we in global terror in terms of, our progress?
Well, we find it, if it weren't so scary, we find it laughable that for the last year, various people, most of them politicians, have been declaring ISIS is almost finished and we're in the middle of the last battle for ISIS. You can look week on week at reports in newspapers saying there's only this space left or that space left. At the end of the day, it's true that the last territories of ISIS are about to disappear. But between Syria and Iraq, there are thousands of ISIS fighters currently either in active operation or in hiding, and that's the low estimates. Then you've got to talk about the ideology. Over the weekend in the United States, in three different states, people were put away for between 16 and 7 years for terror plots on behalf of ISIS. And that's just in America. And we know that Europe's in a much worse state. So anybody who thinks that ISIS is gone is fooling themselves. And the reason you mention Hamza bin Laden is quite simply because I remain of the opinion that Al-Qaeda is still the more dangerous organization.
All right, so let's break it up. Let's start first talking about, just to understand the ISIS position. If these fighters are all over the show, they're in hiding all over, presumably in Europe, some in America, certainly all over the Middle East. And if there's no one to coordinate them, do you think that, or is there somebody still to coordinate them, given the fact that they don't have a stronghold?
So the leadership structure right now is fairly unclear, uncertain. Part of that is, of course, because so many people are in hiding. We know that leaders of ISIS in individual countries have been killed, but as was the case also with Al-Qaeda, they are pretty quickly replaced. What I am not familiar with, and I don't think anybody truly is the level of the communications network that ISIS has, and the question to what extent can there be this global network whilst everybody is in hiding. We know that in terms of social media, where a lot of instruction has come out over the years, they've shifted away. They were using Signal. Now they've moved into another social media app, which is not as closely monitored right now. So they're trying to do what they can. In terms of the public outreach, in terms of films that they're making and so on, so that's certainly on the wane, and what they do produce does not have the same quality. So their ability to draw people in is somewhat limited, and the question is, of course, if you're somebody sitting in Johannesburg or wherever it is, and you're thinking about joining a terror organization, how on earth do you contact people in ISIS, whereas 2 years ago, that was a very easy operation.
Yeah. What was also interesting to me is we, certainly the layperson, hadn't heard much about Hamza bin Laden for years. Now that ISIS is supposedly almost done and dusted, we've got this new, we seem to have a new villain in town. Where's he been for the last 10 years?
So he has been active, but quietly so, I would say, until about 3 years ago, when he issued statements saying he would avenge the death of his father, Osama bin Laden. He has been talked of by people like Ayman Zawahiri, who is the official leader of Al-Qaeda, as being part of the leadership. From Clarion's research into this, we understand that there are two or three divisions within the organization of Al-Qaeda, and I don't mean that in terms of splits, but rather units, and that he heads one major part, and he is being readied to take over at the helm of the organization. Interestingly, over the weekend, a couple of developments, the State Department in the United States put a reward out for his capture and information leading to his capture. And at the same time, Iranian opposition groups said that he is currently in hiding in Iran, which may sound strange at first because, of course, the Shiite-Sunni split, but we do know that ISIS, Iran has harbored al-Qaeda operatives in the past, so it isn't beyond the realms of possibility.
Mm. So, and is he a real threat? I mean, do the US and do government organizations expect the same kind of activity that his father was capable of?
I think so. The organization is very well oiled. It is a wealthier organization than ISIS. It has sleeper cells all over the show. We think of that organization of al-Qaeda and we associate it with one event, which is 9/11. Clearly 9/11 was incredibly well drilled, well thought out to the extent that you can drill something like that. But I just want to remind you and everybody listening that back in the early 1970s, numerous aircraft were hijacked on the same day and brought to Jordan to the airport in Amman by Palestinian terrorists. So what we saw on 9/11, yes, was the most horrific terror attack that any of us can think of, but it wasn't as unique as people make out. So I firmly believe that anybody, if they drill themselves well, is capable of doing that. So I absolutely wouldn't rule out that somebody like Hamza bin Laden, who has the hatred in his heart for the West, would consider doing something like that and would be capable of carrying it out.
If I had to ask you, which is the bigger threat? I know it's quite a strange question, but is al-Qaeda today in March to 2019 a bigger threat than ISIS, or does ISIS still remain a large and more significant threat?
If you're asking me if today, God forbid, there was a terror attack carried out somewhere in the Middle East or in the West, who I would think carried it out of the two, I would say ISIS. In terms of who I believe is the stronger organization, it's al-Qaeda, but the real answer to the question, I would say, is it doesn't matter. As long as the ideology of hatred against the West, against the values that everybody listening to this cherishes, are being challenged by Islamists from whatever organization or acting on their own, that's what we need to fear. That's what we need to educate about, and that's what we need to protect our families from.
And who has the greater links to all the terror organizations that we would find in Africa, the Al-Shababs, for example?
So that's very much split between the two, and you will find across North Africa, if you look at what's gone on over the last, well, I guess we've got to talk about the last 5 years, because before that ISIS didn't really exist, but the shifting sands, the different pledges of allegiance between the various organizations. So Somalia, I would say, is more al-Qaeda. Nigeria, it is more ISIS. But again, it's all about what's convenient. You know, you can pledge allegiance to whoever you want. But if you have got, and people in Nigeria have probably never met Zawahiri or Baghdadi. But once you've got the bit between your teeth, you just want to attack, you just want to kill. And the bottom line is that these people are alleging that they're doing this on the basis of religion. They are just hate mongers. They are evil people. And they will attach themselves to whoever they think it is prudent to do so to advance their cause.
Mm. Interesting. Benjamin says something that obviously it's, you know, we would never sit well, but he just raises an interesting subject. He said just the weekend before last, I watched a documentary on the capture of Osama bin Laden, and I thought that not killing the whole lot was a mistake. Of course, the younger ones will grow up and follow their parents and seek revenge. And look what's happening now.
It's an incredibly controversial point. Very. It is the center of massive debate right now. He's making a very valid point. Interestingly, the French, several months ago, maybe last year, senior figures in France said, we hope that these people die in battle or die out in the Middle East, so we don't need to deal with them. When push comes to shove, and now these folks were not killed, you know, the French are saying, oh, well, let's leave them over there anyway, because we don't want them back where we are. And governments are almost flick-flacking on a monthly or half-yearly basis as to what to do with these folks. Because on the one hand, you've got the humanitarian imperative that we've talked of about course. Last week or the week before. What do you do with the brides? What do you do with the children? These are human beings. The fighters probably don't deserve to live or deserve, best case scenario, to be incarcerated for the rest of their days. But then there's all of their dependents, and what do you do with them?
Absolutely. I'd love your thoughts on it. It's a very, very hard conversation to have. And, you know, every part of me screams that you certainly don't punish children for the sins of their parents, and you don't punish families for the sins of one person. But on the other hand, it's the cycle and this education and an indoctrination that is almost certainly going to result in people growing up to seek vengeance for the loss of a loved one. Very
absolutely the case. It's such a difficult moral question, and I don't think anybody can truly know for sure what the right answer is. But what we can say is that if Hamza bin Laden would have been taken out with his father if he was present all those years ago, we wouldn't be having this conversation today.
But wouldn't we? Would there not just be another Hamza bin Laden who would rise to the top of the Al-Qaeda totem pole?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's the other side of the coin. On a completely unrelated topic, but you'll understand where I'm coming from. In the UK right now, everybody is shouting anti-Semitism, anti-Semitism. We need to fight anti-Semitism. I'm of the opinion the more we shout that, the more anti-Semites come out, the more anti-Semites feel that there is a legitimacy for them to raise their heads. And I think it's the same sort of thing. If we only half eradicate, or if we don't deal with the ideology in the world of radical Islam, then more and more are going to come out of the cracks and are going to attack us. And it's a very, very scary thought.
It is indeed. And unfortunately, that's where we have to leave it. I've been chatting to David Harris from the Clarion Project. Go and look at their website. It has incredibly interesting information, especially if you want it to be keep updated on this subject. It is 8:30.